I'd like you to open first to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Going to take a look at something that for years, growing up in church, I didn't really understand, in part because of the way it was taught to me, and really, you know, to anybody that was a part of our church. You'll understand when we kind of get into this a little bit further. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now this whole thing here where it says the kingdom of his dear Son, in some places it talks about the kingdom of God, in other places it talks about the kingdom of heaven. I mean, essentially, it's God revealing to us that we're talking about the same thing, just it's an all-encompassing kingdom, if you will. But it says here that we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, well, what does it take for me to be translated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his dear Son? What does it take for me to be delivered from the power of darkness? Well, this is answered back in John chapter 3. So why don't you turn back over there? John chapter 3. And as you know, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, and he had gone unto Jesus, was talking to him about the things that Jesus had been doing. And in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus asked a question. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the natural birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right, well, here's what we see. If I want to get into the kingdom, I have to be born again. Well, when was it possible for anybody to be born again? After Jesus had completed his work here on earth. The Bible talks about how that Jesus was the final sacrifice for sins. So until that sacrifice was fully offered, we could not have the opportunity to be born again. So when Jesus completed his work here on earth, crucified, raised from the dead, and so forth, then anybody, you know, John 3:16, for whosoever, anybody could call upon Jesus, believe in him, and be born again. When we do that, when we accept him as our Savior, and we are born again, it is at that point that we are translated out of the power of darkness. And, you know, the power of darkness, I'm not going to be teaching on that today, but, you know, the power of sin, the power of the sin nature, the power of Satan, and on. But I'm translated out of that into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I'm translated into this kingdom. So until I was born again, I was not in that kingdom. Now that I'm born again, I'm in that kingdom. Well, if I wasn't in that kingdom until I was born again, that means until I was born again, I didn't have the opportunity to experience anything the kingdom has to offer. Now, you can think of it like this. The kingdom is offering salvation to everybody that's lost. But beyond that, until you're in the kingdom, well, you don't have the inheritance, if you will. Join ears with Jesus and just on and on this would go. So I know then that the moment I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the old person in me, that old sin nature me, washed away by the blood of Jesus, and behold, all things have become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, literally a new creation. So I'm brand new. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm also in the kingdom. The first person who lived on earth, you know, after Adam and Eve fell, the first person who lived on earth with the life and nature of God in him was Jesus. Up until then, nobody else had that life. Everybody else was born lost. But Jesus was not born lost. He was born with God's life and nature on the inside of him. And so, when we look at Jesus, like it says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we look at Jesus, meaning when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we are seeing is what it's like for a person to live on earth with, let's just say, kingdom life in them. Now look in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And take a look what it says here about Jesus. In verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Well, where he says the time is fulfilled, you don't have to look at this, but in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it talks about when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are, you know, living under the law. The fullness of time that's mentioned over there in Galatians chapter 4, and then right here where Jesus says the time is fulfilled, he's talking about the time of the law. The time of, for example, the Jews having to live underneath the law. The time has been fulfilled, or the time has come for there to be a transition. A transition from living under the law to living in the kingdom. A transition from living by the power of darkness, or in that grip of the power of darkness, to living as a citizen of the kingdom. He says, it says here in verse 14 that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In verse 15 it says that Jesus was telling people the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now when he says that the kingdom of God is at hand, that literally means it's within your reach. Well, how was it within their reach? Because in just a short period of time, Jesus was going to be crucified and the kingdom was going to be available to them. They could believe on him to be born again and become a part of the kingdom. So he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, this change, this transition is for real now. I mean, it's here. The time is fulfilled. And he says, repent and believe the gospel. Well, that brings up a question. What gospel are we supposed to believe? Well, he just said there in verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and believe the gospel, or literally, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this is interesting because how many of you know God does not waste words in Scripture? Notice it says here, in verse 15, look at it now. Repent ye and believe the gospel of the kingdom. So repentance takes us where? Well, being born again. But he also says, and believe the gospel. Now think about this. Repenting, and I don't have time to get into everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the repenting, believing into salvation, so on and so forth, and the way it's presented from the book of Acts on. Repenting is, let me say it like this, repenting is like John 3:16, believing in Jesus Christ to be born again. Repenting is that translation from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, because I believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. God raised him from the dead and so forth. I'm born again now. Repenting takes me to this place of being born again. However, he says, repent and believe the gospel. Do you realize this is telling me that there are aspects of believing the gospel that go beyond just being born again? Why wouldn't he have said, believe the gospel and repent? But there's something else at play here. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Okay, so let's just, to try to keep this as short as possible. He says, believe on me, be born again, and once you're born again, believe the gospel. Well, Jesus, I don't get it. I believe the gospel to get born again. And Jesus would turn around and say, I don't think you get it. You didn't have access to the fullness of the working. Now listen to this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. You didn't have fullness to the access of the fullness of the working of the gospel of the kingdom in your life until you were born again. Now, let me show you some things here in Scripture. Look over in Matthew chapter 28, where it says that Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. You don't have to read this, we're not going to read it, but I'll just make it as a point of reference. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom. And if you go back there and you read in Matthew 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7, here's what you're going to see. Numerous times Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. You have heard it taught, but I say unto you. It has been said, but I say unto you. In other words, he was saying, okay, look. And then in Matthew chapter 5, it's almost like he kind of paused for a moment and said, now folks, listen, I'm not here to destroy the law. I'm here to fulfill the law. The time is fulfilled. When the fullness of time had come. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill. You've heard it said. Well, when did we hear it said? Under the law. So to amplify this and be correct, Jesus was telling them, you've heard it said and taught under the law, but I say unto you according to the kingdom. You have heard people teach you according to the law, but I say unto you according to the kingdom. Well, if you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, by the time you get to the end of chapter 7, it says the people were astonished. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. He taught like somebody having authority. He was presenting to them doctrine they'd never heard before. They didn't fully understand. This is incredible. We've never heard this before. Precisely because this is the introduction to the kingdom. The kingdom that will be available to you that now is at hand and you can get into once I've completed my work here on earth. I'm introducing the kingdom to you so you'll know what's in store for you. You know what's waiting for you when I have completed my work and you can be born again. Well, in Matthew 28, when Jesus was going around teaching the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus was talking to Judas had killed himself. This is before Jesus ascended to go back. It was after his resurrection. And he's talking to the 11 disciples, apostles that were still remaining. And in verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, when I was raised in church, this was a verse that we used a lot. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Well, that they need to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we used that as a standard for what we believed. And it wasn't that we were wrong, because he does say that. And so that was that was like a rock solid foundation for all that we taught. And in verse 20, the teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I mean, basically, we kind of focused on John 3, where Jesus said you must be born again. And we didn't take it much beyond that. Well, then, to strengthen our position, we would go over to Mark. So let's do that. Go over to Mark chapter 16. And in Mark chapter 16, now remember, Jesus is preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And we stopped right there. We would do verses 15 and 16. And we use verses 15 and 16 in conjunction with what we read over there in Matthew 28. And so we would say, you see there, you know, we've got to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And we stopped right there. And what we did was say, the gospel is ye must be born again. And left it at that. That's the gospel. Ye must be born again. But remember what Jesus said. Repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus told them in Matthew 28, you know, go to all the world, teach them. Teach them what? Well, about me. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and so forth. And teach them to observe all the things that I've taught you. Well, now let's think for a minute. How many times did Jesus say you must be born again? Well, in the four Gospels, it only appears in John chapter 3. Now, it's described in other places. However, if you go back and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the things that he taught the apostles, you're going to see teaching that is relative to life after born again, not being born again. Not the process of born again. So when he says, look here in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, what gospel? Now think with me for a moment. I'm going to use terms we're familiar with. The gospel of salvation or the gospel of the kingdom? See, what we do is we equate salvation with strictly being born again. I mean, that's just the common understanding of it. So that's what we'll go with here for right now. So when I'm preaching the gospel, am I supposed to be preaching the gospel of salvation or the gospel of you must be born again? Or am I supposed to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Which would it be? Now, it's not meant to be a trick question. The answer is, it's supposed to be the gospel of the kingdom. Because Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So here he says, preach the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Well, the gospel of the kingdom includes, you must be born again. Repent, believe on Jesus. It's included in that. But notice, this chapter doesn't end with verse 16. He says, he that believeth and is damned shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be... he that believeth and is baptized will be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now I want you to see something here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Period. He could have just stopped right there. But he didn't. So let me paraphrase it, amplify it, and present it to you like this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, fellas, I'm getting ready to ascend back to the Father. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of the gospel of the kingdom. Number one, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Number two, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That right there is a synopsis of the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just verse 16. It's verses 16, 17, and 18. That's a summary. Why didn't he go into more detail? Right here. Why did he just leave it like this little short version? It's because for the past 3.5 years, he's been teaching them about the kingdom. He's been demonstrating the kingdom. He's been showing them the kingdom. So it's like this is just a brief reminder of what the kingdom or what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. If all I do is preach verse 16, do you realize I'm leaving out a huge chunk of the gospel? Let me say it like this. If all I do is preach verse 16, all I'm doing is preaching the repent part. Remember, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. So if all I do is preach, you must be born again. If all I do is preach verse 16, all I'm doing is preaching the repent part, if you will. But I'm leaving off the rest of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if this is true, and if indeed Jesus was the living embodiment of the gospel of the kingdom, then we should see elements of this in his life and ministry. Why would he tell us to go preach and teach something that he never preached or taught? Well, let's take a look. Turn back over to, or turn to, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In verse 18, well, in fact, well, verse 18, let's just go there. Jesus is in church. He stands up and he's reading from Scripture and teaching. Anyway, he says, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now stop right there. What gospel? What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Notice what it doesn't say. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the lost." You notice it doesn't say that. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he sits down and he says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." In other words, the gospel or the kingdom is at hand. Now, you'll notice here in verse 18, he talks about all these things that he's come to do. But then in verse 19, he says, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In verse 18, it's like in verse 18, he starts going through this list of what he's going to do and what he's going to teach. And then he gets to what we would call verse 19. It's like he just kind of sums it all up and he says, "You know what, guys? Let me simplify it for you like this. I am here to preach to you the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, that brings up a question. Okay, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? Well, to us, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But to the Jews that heard that, it meant a lot. Let me show you something. Leave your finger here. We're coming back to Luke chapter 4. Let me show you the acceptable year of the Lord, what the Jews called it. In Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25. And you're going to see the type and shadow of what the kingdom is all about. In Leviticus 25, and I'll give you a moment to be sure everybody's there. And those of you with your electronic Bibles, I hope your battery doesn't die in the middle of the service. Hallelujah. Mine will continue to work. Praise God. Moving right along. Leviticus 25, verse 10. God says, here's his instruction. "Ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow. I hope you pay attention to this. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. Now notice what this is saying. God is saying, when it's the jubilee, when this year hits, all debts are canceled. All debts are canceled. All of them. You could be in bankruptcy in year 49, but in year 50, your slate is wiped clean. In other words, the debts that you incurred in years 1 through 49, in year 50, all of those debts are removed, and the people you owed could not come back to you and remind you of your indebtedness. Every debt was canceled. And not only that, but he said, and I don't have time to go into all the details of this, but he said, every man is going to be returned unto his possession. Meaning everything that you had lost, for example, if you had lost your family's ground, your family homestead, it was returned to you. Say you had lost it through indebtedness, but it is now returned to you. He says in this, you're not going to sow and you're not going to reap. Well then, you know, in an agricultural society, you'd sit back and think, well, how in the world are we going to eat for a whole year? And God said, don't worry about it. I'll do whatever is necessary to cause that land to produce a bumper crop. And you don't do a thing but harvest the blessings that come in the year of Jubilee. Now listen to this. You don't sow and you don't reap. The reason is because you won't have to. Everything is going to be provided for you and you don't have to work for it. Are you seeing this? Think about here not too long ago. Here, I don't know how many years ago. Remember all these preachers were on television saying, well, we've done the calculations and according to the calendar, this is the year of Jubilee. And then they had the audacity to tell us, to tell people watching, to send in their big Jubilee offerings to tap into the Jubilee anointing to receive the Jubilee blessings of incredible finances. Bull honky! That was a lie! God says you don't sow and you don't reap. That's what God says. Your prosperity for these people, what God was saying, your prosperity. See, in an agricultural society, that's how you live. That's how you made your money. And God was saying, don't worry about it. Because in the year of Jubilee, I'm going to move and everything you need is going to be supplied and you've got the whole year off. Glory to God. Wouldn't you like that? Brother Martin, this is a good sermon. Hallelujah. Every man's possession is returned to him. Okay, what happened? Think about this. See, Jesus came and he said, I'm preaching to you the acceptable year of the Lord. He starts out talking about recovering of sight and the brokenhearted. I mean, all of these things. And then it's like he stops and he says, you know what? Let me just sum it up for all you people. I am here to preach to you that the acceptable year of the Lord is at hand. You say, well, what do you mean my possession? Well, if you lost your possession through year 1 through 49 as a result of indebtedness or whatever, man, it was returned to you. Okay, think about this. What's returned to us? Our position in God as His children ruling and reigning on this earth. It has been returned to us. Remember when Satan was talking to Jesus in the wilderness and he said, you know what? If you just treat me with a little respect, I'll give all this to you because you know what? It's been given to me. And Jesus said, fool. No, he didn't say that. What Jesus could have said was this, dude, you have no clue. In about 3.5 years, I'll be taking it back from you. without worshiping you. I will triumph over you openly. And I will put you to shame. And I'm going to take back what Genesis 3 stole. And I'm going to return it to all who believe in me. It's going to be just one part of their inheritance. The year of Jubilee is the restoration of that position in God as His child. And everything that comes along with it. Now look back over there in Luke 4. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because," let me summarize. Here's the gospel of the kingdom. Poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. What he didn't say is, poor, you're all going to be billionaires. He didn't say that. What he said is, in the kingdom of God, you can trust God for a relief of your financial struggles. You don't have to sit around and fret about how in the world am I going to get, you know, my got a water leak. How am I going to get this fixed? How am I going to get my car fixed? How am I going to get this fixed? He said, no, you don't have to worry about it. You're not going to have to sit around and fuss and cry and worry about these things. No, because when you're a citizen of the kingdom, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by me, Christ Jesus. I'm not promising you billions. What I'm saying is, your need's going to be supplied. That's the kingdom principle. Poor, you don't have to live like that anymore. He said, sick, you don't have to live sick anymore. Healing is available to you. Your bodies are going to wear out sooner or later. They're not glorified yet. But you can hang around for about 100, 120 years if you want to. Take care of yourself. But you don't have to go around battling sickness and affliction. And you that are maimed, you know what? you can have what's been maimed unmaimed. He says, those of you going through times of depression, you know what? The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength in the kingdom. The peace that passes all understanding is going to guard your heart and mind through me, Christ Jesus. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. I am your Jubilee. Joshua could not give them rest from their labors, even though he took them into the promised land, because there is a greater rest that is available to those of you who will put your faith in me. Trust in me. I will give you rest. I'll take you into the kingdom. Does that mean we no longer have responsibilities? Of course it doesn't mean that. But you understand this concept. So here Jesus, he is describing for us the gospel of the kingdom. When I was raised, we didn't hear this. You know, when people were brokenhearted, we told them they need to go see a therapist. We didn't. Sadly, that still goes on today. Jesus said, hey, in the kingdom, I'm your therapist. I can help you get past the brokenheartedness, no matter what it's related to. I can help you. This is a description of the gospel. Look in Matthew chapter 4. And let's see this played out. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. This was the kingdom, see? This was the kingdom. When he said the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God's dear Son, when he said the kingdom is at hand, he was saying, look, I'm representing what the kingdom is supposed to be all about. Come unto me, and I will show you the work of the kingdom in your life. And all these people that were healed, delivered, and set free, not one of them was born again. They were all lost. And that's because the people in the kingdom, Jesus was the only one in the kingdom at that time. The people in the kingdom are supposed to be doing these things for the people outside the kingdom to demonstrate the kingdom to them. And it's going to help them to understand it's not just about speech, but it's also about in the kingdom, you can be healed. Do you realize if we lived this, if we lived in our Jubilee, and this became us, I mean, didn't Jesus say, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also? We're never going to be deity. Never going to be deity. But we can at least do these works. Kingdom works. Call them kingdom works. We should be able to do kingdom works. I personally fall short of that. I need to be greater in this. And it all comes because, let's just be honest here. Jesus said, if you believe in me. All right, well, I believe in him to a certain point when it comes to kingdom works. Now, I believed in him 100% to be born again. But remember, repent. Okay, I got that part right. But believing the gospel of the kingdom, I'm not as far along in that as I should be. Because Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. Therefore, there's a problem with my belief system. It's better than what it used to be, but it needs to be better than what it is. Because this right here, put your name in here. And Barry, and Cindy, and Judy, and put your name in there, went about all where they lived, teaching people and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people they had contact with. You imagine what's going to happen? You go into a hospital and that happens? You go on a hospital visit. You just go see somebody's little three-year-old. And you pray for that three-year-old. And that three-year-old, boom, gets healed. I mean, instantly healed. Right there in front of everybody. I mean, the nurse is in there saying, okay, now you got to be quiet. Don't wake, don't wake. And so you pray. And all of a sudden, bloop, the baby, the little kid wakes up and says, oh, wow, how do you do that? He's healed. Well, nurse runs out and says, I don't know what just happened in here, but this baby just got healed. Well, other parents hear that nurse talking. They say, what now? What? Can you give that drug to our kid? Why? Well, you didn't give any drug. All he did was just say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Really? Send that man down here to my room. Down to my kid's room. You're going to be in that hospital the rest of the day. You understand that, don't you? They'll have you going from room to room. The parents will. From room to room. The Christian medical staff, you know, they probably will encourage it. You hope? Can you imagine this one room after another, one room after another? Well, it says here they all got healed. Doesn't it say that? Yes. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And guys, that's the way it's supposed to be for me and for you. For us, all who believe. Didn't he say, all who believe, lay hands on the sick, recover? So here you go through that hospital, that children's hospital, and one room after another. Those kids, they're being healed right and left. Parents are rejoicing, and everybody's all happy. And then one parent comes up to you and says, okay, I need you to pray for my son too. You say, all right, well, where's his room? Well, they just took him down there to surgery. I mean, come on, let's go down. He said, well, I don't know if we can get in the operating room. And it's like, well, you know what? Don't worry about that. I'll just stand outside the surgery, in the surgery waiting area. What's his name? Bill? Okay. In Jesus' name, Bill, be healed. Can you imagine that? Those doctors be in that operating room with their scalpels ready to cut, and all of a sudden, boom, the healing manifests right before their eyes. You say, well, now, Brother Martin, that sounds a little far-fetched to me. You don't believe. Don't you remember the times when people came to Jesus and they said, hey, you know, my kid's sick, going to die. Jesus said, all right, well, go your way, they're healed. And then they go back home and find the kids and the servants and all the times that happened. They find them healed. Yes, it can happen. I mean, the one lady, her son's in a casket. They're dragging and carrying him out, man. They're getting ready to throw him in the ground. And Jesus, he just touches the casket. Oh, man, I hope God got that on video. I want to see this one. These guys are carrying the casket. And everybody's boo-hooing and crying, and Jesus touches the casket. Can you imagine those guys carrying? All of a sudden, they feel this jumping around on the inside. It's like, ah! You know, what do you think they did? They dropped it. And then that guy, boom, pushes it up and says, hey! That whole story is not recorded in Scripture, trust me. See, that's the kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's the way it's supposed to be. But that's not the way it was taught to me. We heard, you must be born again. We heard that is what the gospel is. We did not hear, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he was teaching them, okay, let me ask you a question. We read this, but what we don't read is what he was teaching. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, right here, all we see is a summary in verse 35. Would you like to know what he was teaching? I'll tell you. Very simple. If I stand up and I teach a message to you, but I don't tell you that God wants you healed, what would motivate you to ask me to pray for you? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, when Jesus stood up and was teaching the gospel of the kingdom, somehow it would have been said something like, and folks, listen, in the kingdom, God wants you healed. God wants you well. God doesn't want you sick. God doesn't want your children sick. And somebody would have been motivated, well, okay, then would you pray for me? He would have said something about, I'm here to tell you about the kingdom. Well, if you know so much about the kingdom, pray for me. Okay, pray, healed. You think anybody else in that group was not going to come up for prayer? You know they did. In fact, there's no way that Jesus could have laid hands on the masses of people that would have come for healing. Do you know what happened? He would have just stood there and he just would have said, let me make it up in my words, okay? According to the principles of the kingdom of God, be healed. And those people were healed. And the fame spread all over the place. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. In verse 4, what's happened is John sent some of his people to ask Jesus, are you really the one? And Jesus said, verse 4, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Do you realize, when I was growing up, and we believed you must be born again, and we said that is all the gospel, when we knew that there were the Pentecostals out there that believed otherwise, we thought they were crazy, and the charismatics were just starting to be made known, and we thought they were kind of out there as well. They believed in the healing. The charismatics and the Pentecostals, you know, they believed in the healing. Well, we didn't. Do you realize that if somebody had come into our church and said, now folks, listen, I'm telling you right now, healing's for today. God will heal you. Miracles are for today. If you need one, you can receive a miracle. You know, we would have probably asked that person to step down. Pastor might have come up and taken the microphone. I don't know. But in other words, we would have been offended in Jesus. Not at Jesus, but in that message of the gospel of the kingdom. We would have taken offense because, no sir, you're wrong. Those things died out with the apostles. That's what we believed. But that's not the gospel of the kingdom. Look over in Matthew chapter 10. Turn back a chapter. And what had happened, it says verse 1, Jesus called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And if you look down verses 2 and 3 and 4, he gives the names. And in verse 5, he says, tells them, go not into the way of the Gentiles or to any city of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. In other words, guys, I'm going to show you what can happen when you are submitted to me. I am going to release to you, it's going to be a temporary anointing for you to go out and do this, to prepare the way for me. What you're going to experience is a sampling of what's going to be available to you when you repent, fill with the Holy Spirit, and receive that power. Go out and do this. And notice this thing in verse 8, freely ye have received, freely give. Now, what if every preacher believed that way? What if every preacher, and I'm not going, okay, I'm going to leave it at that. You can just let your imagination run away with you. Moving right along, praise God. You don't want to get too many people mad. Hallelujah. Look over in Luke chapter 10. So he sends out the 12, and they go and they do their thing. And what he told them to do. You know, heal, raise the dead, so on and so forth. But then over here in Luke 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Look in verse 8. And into what he tells them, into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. And in verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. In other words, it wasn't just the 12. Now he takes 70 and he says, okay, now I'm going to prove something else. I want you 70 to go out, and not one of you have I handpicked to be apostles. I'm going to send you out there as a demonstration to the people in the future that you don't have to have the call of apostle upon your life in order for God to want to use you in kingdom power. And so the 70 go out. Now, why did the 12 and why did the 70 believe they could do this? Because they had seen it and heard it in Jesus. And if he said, you guys can do this, go do it, they just figured, well, okay, I mean, he's done it, and now he says, we can do it. All right, well, when is it you want us back? All right, we'll be back then. Two by two. And they went out and did this, and they came back with this incredible report. Jesus said to us today, those who believe in me, the works that I do shall you do also. That is his message to us. That is a kingdom message to us today. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Now look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, in this passage, what's happened is Jesus has been asked a question. The disciples said, Jesus, what's the sign of your return and the end of the world? So beginning Matthew 24 verse 4, Jesus is looking beyond their lifetime. He is looking beyond his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension back to heaven. He is looking to the future, literally, I mean, to us today. If we are this last generation, these are things we're going to see the fullness of which begin to manifest. I think we're seeing some of these things manifest even now. So here's what I'm getting at. He's looking at the end. And we're going to look what he said. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What is the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom is believe in Jesus Christ and be born again. The gospel of the kingdom is the poor can be sustained. The gospel of the kingdom is the blind can receive their sight. The gospel of the kingdom is the deaf can receive their hearing, the lame can walk, the devils can be cast out, the maimed can be made whole. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus says the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached throughout this entire world, and then the end is going to come. Meaning, none of these things ever ended with the death of the apostles in Scripture. This is the gospel of the kingdom that has continued and continued and continued even to this day. It's not simply a matter of being born again. It's a matter of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. Everything he said there in Mark chapter 16. Everything he said in Luke chapter 4. Everything that's recorded in here. Everything that we see demonstrated in the life of Jesus. It's not just the words, but it is the doing as well. It's the sum total of all he did. I am the living, breathing example of the gospel of the kingdom. I'll show you what's supposed to be done. Then I'm going to go unto my Father, so that you can receive what I have received and continue this work to the very end. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I've prayed for people, and I've seen miraculous healings take place. But not in everybody I've prayed for.
You say, well, now, Brother Martin, you know, we don't want to be presumptuous. I mean, maybe, you know, some people just aren't meant to.
Don't even start that. Don't even think that in front of me, because I will see it in your eyes. Seriously, if If you believe the gospel of the kingdom, you're not going to say anything like that. You will not say, well, now, maybe not everybody. No, everybody. You know what our problem is? We have an extremely difficult time putting us in the four gospels. We have an extremely difficult time putting our name in there. You know, and Jim went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing people of every disease and every sickness. We have a difficult time seeing that in ourselves. You know why? It's because we look in the mirror and we see what we see, and we interpret our ability to do what God said by how we define ourselves. And so we define ourselves. Can I just like be blunt? Well, like, when aren't you, Brother Martin? The way we define ourselves, listen, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. We basically see ourselves as losers or partial losers. You say, well, now that's a pretty mean thing to say. Now let me explain. If I saw myself as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, would I not begin to see myself laying hands on the sick and all of them recovering? People want to talk about, well, you know, you just got to build up your faith. And that's true. But along with that is, you have to believe that you can do the gospel of the kingdom. Not just teach it, but do it. And let's just talk a little bit more about ourselves. We're kind of afraid to talk about these things to other people because we don't know that it'll happen when they ask us to pray for them. We're hesitant to go into detail about all of this. Well, you know what? You have to get past yourself. I mean, really. And I have to get past me. Look, when people ask me, you know, oh, would you please pray for me? The devil tries to hammer me with thoughts of, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it doesn't work? It's like, okay, well, you know what? There have been times in the past where it didn't. I mean, I prayed for them and the healing didn't manifest. Hey, I've been asked to pray for people who are like in their final days, and I prayed for them, and you know what? They died. You say, well, thanks for telling me, Brother Martin. I ain't having you pray for me. I appreciate that warning. But I prayed for other people. And they went back to the doctor, and the doctors ran the tests, and all the cancer was gone. Gone. Completely gone. See, that's the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus, I'm looking unto Him, and He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is my example. I'll never be deity. I'm never going to die on a cross for anybody. Oh, there have been martyrs. They've shed their blood for the gospel, but not to give it. You know what I mean? But I look unto Him, the author and the finisher of my faith. He's my example. I should be following that pattern. He's supposed to be my hero. You know, football players, well, I want to run the football like Jim Brown. You know, I want to play center like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I want to be a forward or a guard like Michael Jordan. I want to be a pitcher like Bob Gibson. I want to be a hockey player like Maurice Richard. I want to be this. I want to be that. You know, those are my heroes. And you know, I don't know who you ladies have as heroes. I mean, God have mercy. I hope it's not Madonna or. I want to look unto Jesus. That's who's supposed to be our hero, male or female. The gospel of the kingdom is everything that we've been reading in here. All these things that we've seen, that is the gospel of the kingdom. Now we are in the kingdom. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be doing these things that He did. He had no hesitation. You know why? That's because He understood His place as a son of God in the kingdom, with the commission to do these things. In His mind, sickness is not supposed to exist because it didn't in Genesis chapter 1. And in the kingdom, our jubilee, we've been restored to our possession, Genesis 1. And the fullness of that is going to manifest when it's all said and done, the end of the book of Revelation, new heaven, new earth. We get it all. The redemption will, the sum total redemption will then be complete. The gospel of the kingdom, praise God, it includes you must be born again, but repent and believe the gospel. The challenge before us is when we read it, to just say, you know what? I don't understand how it all works. But I know this. That's the way it's supposed to be. In Jesus' name be healed. Not, oh Father, please heal them. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. In Jesus' name. See what I mean? That's the kingdom approach. This is what we need to work toward. This, look, who else is going to do it? It's our responsibility as Christians. We're supposed to be doing this. Well, yeah, but you know, I don't pray as much as I should. Well, I don't either. You know, Brother Martin. Well, I don't worship as much. There's always room for improvement, is there not? You can't use that as a crutch for not stepping out and starting. You start where you are right now and you keep pressing toward the mark. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Praise God. And we have been translated into that kingdom. Hallelujah.